Hi there, this is Pastor Christeline here from Calvary City Church, and welcome to our sermon podcast. We pray as you listen to the word today, it encourages you, inspires you, and launches you into the destiny that God has for you. May you always be found in good health, and may everything that your hand touches prosper. Enjoy the sermon!
Welcome to Calvary City Church, Sunday morning service. You're all online. Watching. My name is Hui Ki. This is my first time here. I'm married to a handsome husband, a godly man of wisdom, integrity, caring, and loving. Usually, he's the one that is standing here sharing and preaching the Word of God. And because of his encouragement and coaching, I am here first time. Otherwise, I would have told Pastor Betty, no, thank you. Okay, right. I'm so nervous now, and I just want your help to just raise your hands wherever you are, right? And just pray for me, okay? Let's commit this time to the Lord. Father God, I just commit myself to you. I ask you to just quieten my heart and my spirit. Holy Spirit, just keep my feet steady on the ground. And Lord Jesus, I invite you to take over, that you increase and allow me to hide behind you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, shalom, peace to everyone. And to all the mothers who are watching online, at home, grandmothers, mothers-to-be, I just want to congratulate you. This is your special day. Okay, right. Just want to share that you have been given a very special and important job from God. And that is, you are called to be a mother. It is a calling, right? Because you will hear your little boy and girl running here and there everywhere, and sometimes even in the toilet. And you often say, oh my, some peace please. Okay, that's true, right? But let me tell you that it is a very special calling. Because it is just for you. In all, God knows that in all the millions in the world, God just chose you, designated and special, to just bring forth a new life in this world, to care for the child or the children, to bring them up, to nurture them and help them grow, to be strong and healthy and godly men and women. Okay, there's 3 points I want to share to all mothers. Just bear with me. The first point is, as I said, motherhood is a called ministry. Some of you may not be ready for it. Some of you are longing, waiting for it. There is a called ministry for Mary herself, as she was called and chosen to be the mother of Jesus. Then there's also the first mother on the planet Earth. And you all know that's Mother Eve. And also the oldest woman to be called a mother. And that is Sarah, Abraham's wife. Yeah? There are also many examples of good mothers and bad mothers in the Bible, which we can read and learn from. But before you are a mother, you are first a wife. Just let me allow these few moments to just emphasize this. I believe that our priority is first to our husbands before the children. When they see the love and care the husband has for the wife and the submission and respect the wife has for the husband, the children will feel safe and secure in this family order and environment. Okay, it's not easy, right, to have a... There's no such thing as perfect marriage, perfect parenthood. And there are always struggles in a marriage, in a parenthood. And there are always like struggles and fights and whatever. So it is with Richard and me. We have our different personalities and upbringing. We have different ideas of thinking and doing things. And so often there was this... What do I call? War of silence. You understand what I mean? Okay, just a pause. Just want to share, if it's okay with you, a short testimony just that happened to me just recently. Okay, talking about this wall of silence. I was in the downstairs toilet in our Outview place. And, excuse me, toilet. And I was, as I flushed the toilet, there was this jumping out of me, out of nowhere, this big mouse. And it was running and hopping all around trying to escape. And there was I jumping up and down, screaming for help. And I was terrified. I just didn't know what to do. And I was screaming to Richard, help! And the mouse ended up hiding behind two mops that's hanging on the wall. And I was holding this long floor squeegee, you know, and trying to defend myself, holding very near to the mop in case it runs out. And this mouse was very quiet, no noise, no movement. And I was the same. I dare not move my feet, and I was so quiet, scared to death, as if like. And I was just waiting for Richard to do something. And I can hear noises outside the toilet. No, I think he was preparing to barricade the place so that the mouse cannot run away. And there was this forever silence between the mouse, this battle, you know, between the mouse and I. Finally, when Richard was ready, I just opened the toilet door a little bit, and the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to ask for a spray of mosquito spray. So I got it from Richard, and I start spraying all over the place near the mouse, and with my other broom, I was trying to fight with the mouse. And the mouse was running and hopping around about trying to escape, and I was trying to catch it. I think because of the spray, the mouse was a bit marbled, and the feet were slippery. Finally managed to push him out of the toilet door straight into the mouse trap. Oh, boy. After that, excuse me, I need to sit down and steady my feet and my heart. And finally, after the drama, you know, God talked to me. And he says, be watchful and prayerful. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Okay, I was thinking, what's that got to do with this mouse entering our house? Then I learned the lesson. In our house, we have been very careful and sealed all the places that won't allow any pests into the house, especially mice. And we thought that the house is pest-free. But in that moment of carelessness, the kitchen door was opened and Richard was in the garden doing something. The mouse managed to sneak in. The moral of the story is, in same way in our lives, we cannot be very sure of protecting ourselves to prevent infections, mishaps, accidents. We need to be constantly clinging to God for His help, to be watchful and prayerful. Okay, that's my testimony. And back to the motherhood. Okay, the same way, as mothers, we need to have that watchful faith and prayer that goes hand in hand. Okay, we were married in the UK, and we committed to Lord the number of children that we plan to have. We have a number of English families with children in the UK that we are quite close to, and we learn from them their way of raising their children. We also agreed at that time that when the children come, I would become a full-time mother. So from that time, we pray before conception, delivery, to raising and caring for our children. All this is because we use the Bible as the basis for our wisdom and discernment in being a good and godly mother. So I encourage mothers, all of you, to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, to just meditate upon it and to put it into practice. It says that, no, we are to teach our children everywhere, in everyday things of life, in every circumstances, we are to teach them. Okay, as one speaker puts it, teach about God in the creation, in the education, in the sciences. Plant little seeds into their spirits that can lead them into eternity. It is our responsibility to input into them and to teach them the ways of God and do whatever it takes to invest into them. Not just leave it to the Sunday school teachers or even the youth pastors alone. You know, we all dedicate our children when they are 1 month old or so. Just like Hannah, when she dedicated her son Samuel in the Bible, 1 Samuel, and let him serve the Lord in the temple there. So for us, it's not just a ritual or a Christian culture. We really meant it when we say our children are to serve the Lord. Now, Joshua 24 verse 15 is our family motto, and we declare it often that we and our household, we will serve the Lord. Okay? The other thing is, for mothers, do read books that will inspire you to become that good and godly mother. For me, in my early years, I read the story of Susanna Wesley, the great mother of John and Charles Wesley. You know them? They are the founders of the Methodist movement, church. And this Susanna was a great woman of prayer and faith, and very disciplined. She can raise her 10 children and brought them up in godly ways, and he would commit every day to 2 hours of prayer and reading the Bible. That's how great faith she has. And the other person that really inspired me was Amy Donovan. She's a single woman, missionary to India, where she set up an orphanage that the Rescue Temple girls. When she was a young girl, her mother would do bake cakes and all kinds and bring her along to the neighborhood children and families and to bless them. I believe this instilled in her a love for people and especially those who are needy. In the same way, you and I can do the same, especially in these times of uncertainty where people are fearful, people are anxious. It's a good time to just reach out to those in our community. Do something. Bake a cake, bake a bread, do a dish, cook a dish, and bring your children along to those around you that you know who may not be able to go out or may have financial problems. This helps to instill love and care and a gift of giving in your children. Because motherhood also is part of a blessing to the community. Okay, my second point is mother and her teamwork and networking. Pastor Rajan spoke about how our immediate families are those who are to hear the gospel. One of the greatest blessings the Lord has given us is our immediate family. When we were asked to look after Richard's father and mother, when we just came back from the UK, we prayed about it, accepted it, and welcomed them into our home. And because of that, his mother came to know the Lord before she was taken home to heaven. His father and the sister, mentally retarded, continued to stay with us. And at a later stage, they too came to know the Lord. It was a blessing for us because to see them full of peace and joy. And his father was especially a blessing to us and our church. He went to the Chinese church. because he was a great cook and he had know a lot of DIY helps. So the church members loved him. And he helped us when our children came along. He looked after us and he even sewed pajamas for our children. So he was wonderful. And then later, Richard's third sister and family also came to stay with us for a short period and moved on next to stay next to us next door. And they are also a wonderful blessing to us. They also came to know the Lord. And one of the children, their daughter, got married and both husband and wife became missionary in Thailand and Laos. Okay, and they are also attending the Chinese church, and the church people just love them because they are really good cooks. And our three children love them, as they favorably call them Kuku, which is auntie, and Uncle Pok. And they look up to them just like grandparents. Okay, because of the care and help they extended from by them, both Richard and I are able to go for dates during our marriage. And we always will go away for an overnight holiday for our anniversary. So that's why I encourage young mothers to have support from parents, from families, and close church friends. Build peer group couples early in your marriage. Maybe your parents are not Christian, but don't exclude them in raising your children. They can be of help and support to you as long as you lay down the rules of do's and don'ts. You never know. They may come to know the Lord when they see how you care for your children. This is part of how they will hear the gospel. Okay, in the Bible, Timothy was such a leader, commended by Paul. He was raised up in godly ways by his mother, Eunice, and along with his grandmother, Louise. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, for young mothers and mothers-to-be, don't be shy and do not hesitate to call for counsel and help from one another and from the older couples. In that way, you will not feel alone in your stress and struggles. Just let me share Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Can we have that? Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. It says here, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So motherhood need not be a solo responsibility. These are wonderful benefits in networking with other families. Lastly, mother and her active relevance. By that, I mean that as a mother, you need to pray and discern each of your child's giftings and unique personality. Each child is different and special. One sibling may be quiet and obedient. Another one may be a handful. So it is important that we need to pray daily for wisdom for their well-being. I know this is sometimes can be exasperating, especially if both spouses are working. And when they come home from a tired work to a home to a noisy bunch of kids. But that's when I encourage you to just need to spend those few moments solitude on your way from work to home to just ask God to give you the strength and the love and the care towards the little ones. That's what Richard did in his early years when he was in the corporate world. We were staying in Rawang, and he was working in KL. So when he traveled back from work, he would just pray and mentally prepare himself to leave his work at the office. And then he would come back to love and care for the little children. And he's always the one that tucked the children in bed and read them Bible stories and all kinds of stories to educate them. And as early as they can understand, Richard will lead them to the sinner's prayer. So then we also have regular cell groups in our home when the children were young. And we have a short time of worship, singing, and a devotion from the Bible. And the children love it because we give them the responsibility of leading in worship with songs they like and taking turns to pray. So that's how we build our children up. And then as they start going to school, don't let them go free, but set guidelines and boundaries that will guide them in the right path. Pray for their school friends. They will have good school friends and get to know the school friends. Invite them home for makan, for games, for watch TV short while, whatever. Okay. And then as they grow into teenage years, you know, they will need more space. This is troubled years for them. Okay. But still, you need to set boundaries as necessary. But the boundaries will sort of like expand more according to their age. Okay. And mothers also, it'll be useful if you know their lingo at their age and learn about all the gadgets and all the technology so that you are not like an old grandma, ajuma like that. Okay? Right. And Dr. Lalith Mendes, in his book, Dad, Mom, Dad, Me, says that the frontal lobe of the brain handles the moral values and choice. They are not fully developed in girls until the age of 16 to 18, and boys 18 to 22. That's why sometimes these teenagers, they get into trouble because they have not accessed the choice and the values. And that's why in his book, Dr. Lali say it's very important to have careful parenting in these early years. Then mothers also tend to understand their children more, their likes, dislikes, their talents. Therefore, from even very young age, we have to begin to pray into them the Lord's plan and destiny. As for our family, we did not push them academically. We encouraged them to study hard, do their homework, plan timetables to their exam times, and commit them to the Lord. We observe their giftings and their talents, and when the time came, we sort of like guide them to choose the course that suits them. For example, our eldest son, Timothy, he loves car. Even from a very young age, he can differentiate different types of cars. So when it was time for him to go to college, Richard would guide him, advise him, and arrange for him to do a course in engineering, automotive engineering. Yes. Okay, and the same with our two children. Okay, now we are grandparents. Clap, lah. Chris and Narita's little girl, Nasha. Okay, but we still do not stop praying for our children, for their growth, for their daily needs, for their success, and even for those yet to be born. We are committed to being a third-generation parents, mothers, okay? In our premarital counseling to young couples, we usually share to those couples that parenthood is a very enriching journey. They also teach us in our growth, maturity, and especially to understand the Father hearts of God. So I'm so grateful to God that He has been with me all these years, teach me is to how to be a mother. I'm not saying I'm a perfect mother. I have made a lot of mistakes and I cried many times, but the comforting thing is God is there with me and guide me. So I want to conclude with this praise and thanksgiving to the Lord from these two verses. Okay. First one is Psalms 37, verse 25-26. I was young and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always gracious and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. The second is Psalms 71, verse 17 and 18. Since my youth, O Lord, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation and your might to all who are to come. Amen. May the Lord bless all the mothers and their children likewise. Bless them.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. We trust that you have been blessed. For more sermons like this, do log on to our church website at www.calvary.com.my. Have an amazing week ahead, and may the abundance of the Lord fill you this week.